email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 5 on 5 on ray@rte.ie. Have a listen to this.
So here we have the final of the mixed relay. Ireland have a great chance of a medal.
And the baton's handed to Thomas Barr. Now, Thomas Barr, on paper, shouldn't really live with some of these 400 metre runners, but he is all heart and he is all championship competitor.
I have been around a long time. This is my 6th European Championships. And medals do not come around that often.
Just hold your nerve. She's holding her nerve. This is wonderful from Geraldine Mosley. She is centre position relay runner, proving it with a gold medal for Ireland. Yeah, huge national record. It's not just a gold medal for Ireland. It's a glittering, glittering gold medal.
All hand in hand. It's a wonderful, wonderful celebratory moment on the plaza just outside the arena here, the Olympic Stadium. Thomas Barr, the bronze medalist in the 400 metres hurdles back in 2018, taking a gold medal in the relay.
We took it by storm, and like, this isn't going to set in for a while, but I'm a very, very happy athlete right now.
Yeah, history was made in Rome this month when the Irish mixed relay team won gold at the European Championships. Chris O'Donnell, Rashida Adeleke, Thomas Barr, Charlene Maudsley came together for a performance of a lifetime, coming home in a time of 3:09.92 and setting a championship record. Paris this summer for the Olympics is looking very exciting for Irish athletics. And joining me now is European gold medalist Thomas Barr. Hello, Thomas. Congratulations.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for having me on.
It sounds exciting there when you listen back, doesn't it?
Do you know what? I was listening in, and first of all, I'm delighted that you put it to Fatboy Slim. I love a bit of Fatboy Slim. And it's given me goosebumps just thinking back over that week and over the whole celebration and everything. Yeah. And it is crazy to think that we've come home with as European champions, you know.
It is crazy. Because I was following the progress, and you got a bronze in the Bahamas. So you knew you were going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, we did. Like, out in the Bahamas, it was a world championships. So the only two teams that were ahead of us were the Americans and the Dutch. So we knew that, you know, going into the European Championships, the only team that had beaten us were the Dutch that year. And we thought, there's no reason why we can't, even in that company, come home with it. First of all, a medal. But I knew, and we all kind of knew in our heart of hearts, that if we got it right on the day, that we could break the Dutch. And we did. We managed to do that. And I think it's one thing saying you're going to go and do something, and it's one thing kind of, you know, building it up and thinking, oh, this is where we deserve to be, but actually going out executing and then coming home with the goods is a whole different feeling. And it's amazing. It's brilliant when a plan comes together.
as the man from the 18 said.
Exactly.
Tell us about the mixed 4x400. It's a relatively new event, is it?
It is. It's a relatively new event, and it's gone through a couple of different iterations. It's kind of changed up a little bit in the last couple of years, but it only started up a couple of years ago. Tokyo Olympics was the first big championships where we saw it, and that was where we kind of really started to make our mark on it. And we knew that if we could, we're a relatively small nation, and it's very difficult for us sometimes to field a full team of just men or just female 4x4 or 4x1 runners. Mm. And we thought, as a small nation, this is actually a really good opportunity for us, because we'll always have two or three quite fast 400 runners in the country at any given time. So it was one that we said, okay, this is a new event. A lot of countries kind of weren't even taking it seriously as a new event. So we thought, right, we'll capitalize on this, get ourselves into the system, start qualifying for championships and see where it leads. And this is where it's led to.
Yeah, and of course Paris, like, that's, you know, mouth-watering prospect, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. It's a huge opportunity for us. And as well as the fact that we've qualified, but we're riding the wave at the moment, and that can do huge. You know, we're very confident as a full squad or a full team, depending on. And as well, just to make note, the four of us or the six of us that were out in Rome, it could very much change up the team.
That's interesting. Yes, and you can even change it mid-meet, can you?
You can, yeah. And what they've done actually to restrict some of the bigger countries, like, say, the USA, They've restricted it that you can only make one substitution on the full team of four between the heats and the finals.
Right.
So again, it gives us, you know, it stops bigger nations from substituting an entire new team for the finals. So it actually gives us, say, smaller nations a better chance at doing a bit of damage and having some clout when it comes to the finals. So you have to retain most of that team.
And were you in the stadium for the women's silver medal?
Was I in the stadium? I was down for the medal presentation. I actually watched it from the hotel room at the on the night that they were actually running.
Because Charlene and Rashida, you were, you know, both of them ran in that, didn't they? So they're your teammates, you know. So you're cheering them on.
They had a huge week to put down on the track, and it is amazing to have such kind of depth. In the women's team in particular at the moment has huge depth, and it's great to have in the squad, and it definitely helps boost our chances. I'm happy to have some fast younger talents that are helping carry the team.
You brought age up there now, Thomas, so I can talk about it. And Greg Allen there was saying shouldn't live with some of these sprinters. That's the phrase he used in reference to you. You heard it there. And yet you did. So is it a bit of defiance on your part? Because what age are you?
I'm 31. I'll be 32 this summer.
Right. And what are the stats on? I never know. It's different distances, different ages, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose for the 400-meter hurdles anyway, it would have been traditionally sort of a late-blooming sort of sport. But it's kind of changed in that it's become much more of a younger man's game at the moment, in that the speed that the younger guys are injecting into the event is making it that little bit faster. And the speed is the first thing you lose as an athlete. So that's why you'll often see middle distance, long distance marathon runners will still be into their 30s and 40s and competing. Whereas when it comes down in the distance, that mid-20s.
But Thomas, 400 metres is probably one of the most difficult distances. A person once told me, who was into running, as in reading a lot about running, had read a book, and he said that scientifically, 300 metres, you can run 300 metres full out. So when you're called on to do the extra 100 metres, it can really break you.
That is the breaking point. That's where you're going to start feeling lactic, and it's not for the faint-hearted, that's for sure. Yeah, like that, you can do 300 metres, no problem, but that last 100, if you go out too hard and you overcook it, that last 100 feels like another 300 metres. It's not a nice place to be if you get it wrong, but when it does go right, it feels amazing. And the work is hard to get to that point, but, you know, to get to any point, to get to the level that we're at in any event or any sport, it's not going to be easy, and it's something that we often come back to when we're at training in the depths of winter and we're doing a nasty session, and we just kind of think, you know, I'll say it probably 10 times during the winter training and say, if it was easy, everybody would
do it. But that last 100 metres, of course, you're looking at your teammate with their hand out.
Yeah. and it gives you a huge boost.
Doesn't it? Yeah, I'd say it. Well, me saying doesn't it, I've never run a relay in my life. But it must, is what I should have said. It must, because and that's,
it absolutely does.
Yeah, it's a very focused encouragement, isn't it? And I know there was great support in the stadium, but that looking at that person ahead of you who's depending on you to deliver that 100 metres as fast as you can.
And there was huge support in the stadium, and I have to commend the Irish fans that came out and travelled, but not even that, just everybody at home. There was huge buzz behind the team. Yeah. You know, we started off the championships on a really high note, and that carried through. So huge thanks to everyone that was supporting. But you're right, when you're coming down that home straight, it keeps you focused. Well, say in athletics is an individual event for most of us a lot of the time. But when you add in that little bit of team element, you're not doing it just for yourself. You realize you're doing it for everybody else as well.
Yeah.
So it does definitely, it gives you that little bit of a boost. And you'll often hear, say, 400-meter hurdlers, 400 runners, 800 runners, anyone that gets involved in a 4x4, say that a relay, you put a relay baton in somebody's hand and you're going to eke out that little bit more of a performance out of each athlete.
And the hurdling versus on the flat, so to speak, it must be a bit like, you know, when people train and they have a weight on their back and then they take the weight off, and it's like, you know, you must, you know, without the obstacles in front of you, you must feel great.
Oh, 100%. I go into it and I feel like, oh, brilliant. I don't have to do a whole load of thinking. I'm not kind of worrying about stride pattern or wind direction, or it's just go out, stay up tall, stay relaxed, and run as fast as I can. It's a huge weight off it. And even coming into this season, my hurdling hasn't been 100%. I had some calf and Achilles niggles kind of right through spring that held me back off the hurdle training. So I knew I was in really good shape on the flat with no hurdles, but when it came to the hurdles, I wasn't quite getting there. So when it came to the relay, I was like, oh, brilliant, I can just go out and run. I can show, you know, what I've actually been doing in training, yeah, and actually kind of to get it out on the track, which was a really, really nice feeling.
Okay, the baton exchange, is that what it's officially called?
Correct and right.
Yeah. Is there a load of pressure on that? Because we've seen them over the years, and I'm sure there will be famous ones in this Olympics as well, where it falls. And what happens then? Are you immediately disqualified, or do you pick it up, or what happens?
So, yeah, so I think 4x400 meter exchanges aren't as quick as, say, a 4x100 meters change. So there's not a huge amount of pressure around it. It's literally just grab the baton and go. It's just get it safely. But yeah, if you do drop the baton, there are a lot of rules that can easily get you disqualified. So say, for example, if Rashida was running into me and she had dropped the baton, it's whoever actually drops the baton has to pick it up. So if she drops it and I pick it up,
you're disqualified. Right.
Yes.
Interesting.
So
yeah,
she actually has to it has to go hand to hand. So she would have to hand it straight over to me. So it's just to be mindful of all of that amongst all of the high pressure.
And the margins are so small that that's probably it, isn't it? You're gone.
Yeah, especially at this level. Yeah. The margins are so small that if you were to drop the bat and fumble it, and there probably were teams in the championships that did mess up like that, and it cost them dearly. But I think that's something else that we're quite an experienced team together in that respect, that our changeovers are really solid. And I think that actually gave us even an extra couple of tenths of a second across the time. So having those well-oiled sort of changeovers is really important.
So this will be your third Olympics, is that correct, Thomas?
Yeah, well, hopefully, as long as I get my place on the team, we have nationals this weekend, and that will kind of determine mainly who.
So you're not guaranteed it, despite the fact that you got the gold medal in the Europeans. You're not guaranteed a place.
No. Despite, it's like you have to, and it's funny. This is there's often kind of a bit of confusion. You have to think of it like a soccer team or a football team. It's the four fastest people. Just like if you're putting out a team, it's the best players on the day are put out there. So it'll be say that the four fastest athletes on the day will be put out, and there'll be probably six to eight traveling to Paris. Okay. So, but if I make it, it will be a third Olympics. Yeah.
And not only that, but this weekend at the Nationals, you were hoping to get a time to qualify for the 400 metre hurdles.
I am indeed. Yeah, I've made it a little bit difficult for myself in the fact that I'm leaving it down to the wire as to whether or not I get selected. So there's two ways you can qualify for your individual event. Either you run faster than a certain time. For me, that's 48.7. So I'm kind of aiming to do that. After that, they'll take the next top 40 ranked athletes. And at the moment, I'm ranked, I think, in around 37th or 38th. Right. So I'm leaving it really fine. There's a lot of national championships happening this weekend. So I'm hoping to knock it out of the park this weekend.
Well, you're in front of a home crowd. They love athletics and they'll be cheering you on. So it's all good in that respect. And we wish you the best at the Nationals. And fingers crossed you get to Paris and we'll be shouting for you there as well. Thomas Barr, thanks so much and congratulations again. Thanks, Thomas.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. Cheers.
We'll be talking to you. Bye. Bye. That's it from us. Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.